Hey, my name is Lauren Frieder, and my husband Drew and I are lead pastors at Lift Church. We are on the eastern shore of Maryland. We want to thank you so much for joining us today, and we are believing that you will get a lift of encouragement.
We're in week three of a series we call The Prayer of Jabez, and I'll jump into that in a moment, but we're simultaneously, we are on the third week. We're entering the third week of our 21 days of prayer and fasting. How many of y'all been praying and fasting with us? Let me hear you. Come on. Have you felt closer to God or what? And if you're new here and you're like, what are you talking about? That's okay. That's okay. You can either join with us or just listen in and hear what's going on. But we like to begin the first 21 days through intentional prayer and fasting as well. And so I'll talk a little bit more about that. I like what Lisa Bevere said on social media this past week. She said, a diet changes the way you look, but a fast changes the way you see. Come on, Sherry. Thank you so much for that, sharing that post with me, because I like that, because what we're seeking is that we would see things differently, whether it's see our spouse, see our kids, see our world, see our schools, see our workplace, see our boss in the name of Jesus. Come on. I need to see things differently, see my neighbor differently, see different places differently, and I need to see it with God eyes. And we've been pressing in prayer. In fact, if you didn't know, you could join us every weekday. This week is the last week at our annex from 6 to 7 a.m. I know that's early, but we tried to do it early so that a lot of people who are trying to get ready for school or work can slip over there. Some come for the first 30 minutes because they got to drive. Others are able to stay the whole time. What I love is that God is raising up a young generation who is seeking the face of God. We've been averaging about 10 to 12 people who are there on any given weekday. And just to look around and notice that, like, the majority of them are 25 and younger. Guys, I want to tell you, the future of the church is very bright. Can we give it up for our young people and encourage them? Because I get excited. In fact, here's what a few have shared with me that God's been doing, and we want to hear your praise reports. Jordy was sharing this, that his grandmother, Jordy was leading worship right here earlier, and he said that his grandmother, at the beginning of the fast, she had COVID, and it was not looking good. In fact, her doctors told her that if she would have stayed home, she would not have made it. And so he decided to dedicate his fast and prayer to really seeking after healing for her, because she was now hospitalized. And I asked her, how is she doing? And he said, praise report, earlier this past week, God was already turning the storyline, and she is fully recovered. She is back home, and she's doing well. So, yo, come on, God's doing amazing things. And she was even to the point where she wasn't talking. He said she's chatting it up again. Come on, is that's so good. And then another one of our dream teamers, Jackie, I know you're worshiping with us online. She, about 9 months ago, had learned that her job was cutting back and that she was going to lose her position. And they asked her to take a pay decrease, and she just felt like God said stick with it for a period of time. And I just told her, keep pressing into God. God's going to work all things together for your good. Let's trust him. And she said, I believe it. I believe it. And there were times where we both said, come on, it doesn't look right, but I believe it. I believe it. Come on. She just reported this past week that her workplace called her up and said, we want to give you your job back, and we want to give it to you with an increase. So come on, man. Look at how God can provide. And finally, Daniel, I'm so proud of you, Daniel. He's on our light console every single week. He designs all the lights and does all that. He's really a fantastic young man, but he's been with us in prayer most weekday mornings, getting up at 6 a.m., even when he doesn't have to, just seeking after God. He's what, 21, 22, 23, something like that. And he was just reporting to Pastor JT as they were connected, and he said this, I'm seeing God in all the simple things in life because of this fast. And see, that's what I love. We were just singing that. Let us become more aware of your presence We're going to talk about this today, that God is omnipresent, but that doesn't mean he feels welcomed in everyone's presence. And there's a big difference in welcoming him in and inviting him in, and that's what we're talking about today. Jabez was asking God, the third prayer point of his was, oh God, let your hand be with me. He prayed first for blessing, oh, that you would bless me. Then he prayed for influence, that you would extend my territory. Third, we're talking today that he prayed, let your hand be with me. And that's what we want our prayer point to become this week. And then finally next week, we'll close the series talking about his fourth prayer point, and that you would protect me. He prayed that God would do the protection in his life. And so today is the presence prayer. We're praying the presence prayer. God, I thank you that I've already felt your presence in worship. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you were moving. And I heard you saying this, that you were transforming even living rooms and workplace rooms and cubicles and medical rooms where people are worshiping with us live right now. Your presence is there too, God. And I thank you, God, that you allow us to be the priest of our own homes, welcoming you into our homes. I thank you that you are moving right here in this auditorium. It's so good to feel it. We ask that your presence move with our kids right now, and that you would touch their lives, and that you would fascinate them, because you're a good, good father. And so, Father, we welcome you in. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Come on, help me welcome him. Say amen. Amen, amen, amen. You know, I think the three scariest words that you could ever hear a pastor say in church would be this: please join hands. Come on, some of y'all are like, praise God. I don't praise God for COVID for very many things, but I praise him that I haven't been asked to grab my neighbor's hand in prayer for at least 12 months or something like that, right? Because so many people get nervous about handholds, and understandably so. There's people who violate the rules of handholding. Like, have you ever been in prayer with someone, or have you ever been in church, or just any situation where you've been told to hold hands and someone tries to intertwine the fingers? Listen, if you're not my spouse, that's way too intimate. Listen, the 12-year-old inside of me thinks that you now want to make out with me, and I'm just really uncomfortable. I am not praying anymore. I am not connecting with God anymore. I'm just wondering how long this prayer is going to last, because you have crossed a social boundary at this point. I am not comfortable unless you're my spouse intertwining hands. Have you ever had somebody who gave you the "you're great" squeeze in the middle of it? Come on, you're holding hands, and listen, the prayer's already awkward enough holding hands with a stranger. They decide to just cap it off with one of those, "come on, you're awesome," squeezes, and you're just like, next time we pray, I'm making sure I'm not standing next to you. And here's another one, is that some actually like linger. You know, they're feeling the presence so much that they keep it. I think that, you know, releasing people's hands should be a race. And between you and I, me and my partner, we're going to win. Come on, as quick as we can, right? In Jesus' name, we ain't even waiting for the amen. I need my hands to kind of like, yeah, amen, woo-hoo. And here, I just want to equip you in case you ever get caught in a hand-holding time that somebody has crossed the social boundaries with. Just use your weapon of sweaty palms to let them know, never again. You've crossed the line, right? Come on. I will pull out the sweaty palm. I wish I had that on a trigger where I could just go, okay, you violated it. Sweaty palms on you. Now you've learned your lesson. I don't have to say anything. You got it, right? See, while hand-holding can be initially awkward, they symbolize unity, intimacy, connection, and love. When we hold hands, there's a certain connection, there's a certain intimacy. That's why you frequently see it with spouses, that they're just connecting. In fact, one psychotherapist said, it feels good to hold hands with someone we know, because it's, we should have underlined, with someone we know, right? Because it's all about wanting to be close to them. We only hold hands with people we have a certain level of comfort with. So I'm going to help out the wedded, the married couples up in here. If your spouse right next to you, go ahead and hold her hand right now. And you just like, come on, I hooked you up, ladies, right? And you just say, I've wanted them to hold my hand like that because it represents closeness, right? And we'll get our hand holding on next month. Our hand holding, we're about to talk about a new series called Hills and Valleys, and we're going to talk about relationships. And in the middle of it will be a relationship weekend. We've invited Pastor Greg from Louisiana. He's going to fly up and he's going to come hold hands with. No, anyway, he and his wife are coming up, and they are just phenomenal leaders and pastors, lover of people, and they are going to minister to marriages in the middle of it on February 12th and 13th. So mark your calendars. Pastor JT, is registration open for that right now? Come on. Registration's open for that on our website. Just go to our website, the events page. Click on the marriage conference. Start telling all your friends. In fact, if you've been trying to invite someone to church, here's a great way, because right now marriages are hurting. And there's very few people who are married or want to be married who say, I've got it all figured out and I've got nothing to learn, right? So listen, invite them. If you're married or want to be married, come sign up and join us for that. It's going to be a great time. And we're hoping to lock down the location very soon. We're hoping it could be right here, but we're waiting to hear from Regal. And this is what Jabez wanted. He said, God, let your hand be with me. I want your closeness. I want your close proximity. I want to feel you in every single avenue of life. And he is not the only person that the Bible notes that would pray this way and seek such nearness with God. You know what I know is true about you and me is that everybody wants to be near to God. And so we can ask God, would you be near me? And I think one person who shows the nearness of God is a man named Moses. And I want to read a little bit from Moses' life from Exodus 33. If you've got your Bible, go ahead and go to Exodus 33, and we're going to seek out a bit of passage and then learn from this text. It says, now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. In other words, the tent of God's presence. That wasn't his place of holding board meetings. That was his place of holding meetings with God. They called it the tent of meeting, but what they were talking about is this is man meeting with God. And in the Old Testament, there was a camp of people, and they would have a remote location just outside of the camp, but within eyesight, and they could see Moses walk into it. In fact, the Bible says that many would stand in honor and reverence and worship as the man Moses went to meet in the presence of God. And so they said the tent of meeting was there. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Fast forward to verse 9. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Have you ever wondered what that would look like? A pillar of cloud coming down and landing on the tent. I don't know. Modern day, trying to figure it out. I guess would it look something like a tornado, like, you know, some sort of atmospheric particles of gas that are visibly over a tent, yet not destroying it. It's just something powerful. Like, it would be very obvious that the presence of God is a very important, powerful, confidence-inducing presence of God, right? And I think the same thing's true today. I think that's a visual that when you feel the presence of God, you feel a boost of confidence. That if God is for me, who could be against me? Come on. And so I love the pillar of cloud feeling. Oh, we may not see that today, but we can certainly feel when God's presence is upon us. And this is in verse 10. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance to their tent. And they seem to know the importance of God's presence. And that's why we too, as a church, should know the importance of God's presence. There's very few rules I've ever asked people to keep as a pastor whenever we lead worship with the songs. But the one that I have always enforced, even as a youth pastor and youth leader, is I don't care if you don't engage. I don't care if you don't sing. I don't care if you don't lift your hands. I don't care if you don't clap. That's up to you. I would love it. I'd love for you to get closer. But the one thing we will do is we will at least recognize that God's presence is here by standing in reverence. There's nowhere in the Bible do I see that it says they sat and they worshiped. I see kneeled, I see laid down, I see stood. And so I don't see sat. So that's why we stand in worship. And that's why you'll hear Mary, our worship director, say, would you all stand and worship with us? Because even if you don't participate beyond that, let's at least honor his presence just like they did. They knew God's presence was important whether they could feel it or not. Whether they could sense it or not, they knew something was happening. Oh God, let us become more aware of your presence, right? It says, verse 11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to his friend. His presence gives peace. His presence gives directions. And I want to say this. His presence used to meet in a remote location, according to Exodus 33. According to the Old Testament. But I need you to understand that. Do you know who his current day tent is? Look at your neighbor and point at them and say, it's you, right? 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, your body is the tent of the Holy Spirit. It says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You have become the tent of meeting. You have become the presence place. And we, oh, that we would not be a church full of people who are tents, but we don't have the presence actively welcomed on the inside. Say, God, you are welcome here. You're welcome inside my life. Take control. And so his presence brings peace. And so it says this, that Moses turns in prayer to God, and he starts talking about the journey and what God's asking him to do. And it says in Exodus 33, verse 14, the Lord replied, my presence. Come on, if you're following along, I want you to underline my presence. Or if you're on a digital device, screenshot that right there, hit markup, and start circling your presence. Because I think there's something to understanding the value of his presence. There's nothing like his presence. There's no equal. You can't find anything like his presence anywhere else on earth. He said, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And then Moses said, yeah. In fact, if you don't go with us, don't even bother sending us. Your presence is what validates us. Your presence is what distinguishes us. We too, as Christians, should be saying, I am no different than anyone else without your presence. For I am nothing without your presence. I am common. I fail often. I make mistakes. But with your presence, oh, your presence transforms. Your presence equips. Your presence empowers. Your presence brings life. Your presence brings peace. Your presence adds gentleness into my spirit. Your presence is all that I seek, right? Somebody say, your presence. He said, then Moses said, yeah, if your presence does not go with us, do not even send us up from here. We should practice that prayer. Say, if your presence does not go with us, repeat that. Do not even send us. If your presence does not go with us, do not even send us. Verse 16, how will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish your people from all other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you asked because I am pleased with you. That's two people here in the Bible that God has said is pleased with the presence prayer. I could point out many more, but we don't have enough time for me to point it out. Moses, a great man of God, asked for God's presence and said, I don't want to do anything without your presence. I won't go talk to Pharaoh. I won't lead your people out of the wilderness. And I will not continue to lead them around in the wilderness to a promised land without your presence. Jabez said, oh, that you would bless me, that you would enlarge my territory, but do not leave out your presence so that your hand would be with me in all that I do. Ask the presence prayer. Oh, that's my encouragement to you this week. Ask for God's presence. Seek his presence. Tell him you are welcome in every single environment. You ever want to please the Lord? Ask for his presence, because it says that it said God was pleased with him for asking for his presence. Come on, that's how you please the Lord. So how do we do this? How do we apply the presence prayer in our life? I've got three things I want to encourage you to apply in your life to have this presence prayer become an everyday prayer, an everyday seeking, and even in every moment desire of yours, that God, your hand would be with me. Number one is this: never sell your tent. Never sell your tent. Moses was described as a man who frequently went to the tent of meeting, the tent of God's presence. Listen, if you've got to leave your camp in order to meet with God, it's worth it. Come on. I don't care what people's opinions are. This was Moses' thought. I don't care what you think of me. I don't care if you think I spend too much time in my tent. You would not be delivered, and I would not be delivered if it wasn't for the tent of meeting. I am going where the cloud is. I will meet with God. If it means spending a time away, like 15 minutes each morning, where you tell your family and your kids, I am meeting with God. When daddy's in this seat and he's got his Bible open, I am meeting with God. I love you with all my heart, but daddy is not good unless I meet with God, for I am nothing without his presence. You don't want to meet me before meeting his presence. Come on. You've got to decide that I have a tent and I will never sell my tent. Isn't it interesting that like our devotional times, our Bible reading times, don't they also often get trampled out by the busyness of life? Doesn't that seem to be the first thing that goes? Like, oh, I can't miss an episode of Grey's Anatomy. I make sure that I see it, and I will not miss the playoff game, but I miss time with God in my meeting place quite often. And I'm not really trying to make anyone feel guilty as much as I want you to be enticed that I can't sell my tent. My tent does not need to be unoccupied. My tent is God waiting to meet with me and spend time with me, and I want to spend time with him. You never outgrow your tent of presence the way you outgrow your lunchbox. Whatever happened to my lunchbox? When came the day that it got thrown away? And don't you think I should have had some say in that decision? Right? We never outgrow our tent of meeting. I don't become old enough where I say, I've walked with you for a while, I've read your word for a good time, and I've gone to church for a while. I got it from here. That's the spirit that fights against the tent of presence. It's a sneaky pride spirit that comes inside of us that says to God, I got it from here. Where have you told God, I got it from here? You needed him when they offered you a job that was beyond your competencies. And you were like, oh, God, I am inadequate. I need you. And then at some point, you just sneakily slipped into, I got it from here. I don't pray for your presence to fill me and to give ideas and to lead me any longer. Or like marriage. Come on. Oh God, that you would bless our marriage. And I've never seen one couple that I've wedded where I officiated their wedding and they didn't ask for God's presence to be a part of the whole experience. But when came the day that you started, you quit asking for the presence of God to hover in your relationship? Oh God, I need your presence. What does Ecclesiastes say? Two's a pretty strong cord, but you know what's even better? Three. A triple braided strand cannot be broken easily. Who's that third person? It's me, my wife, and I need God's presence. There's hardly a meal blessing that, you know, I realized the other day when I was praying over our meals, we'll sit down as a family and eat a meal at dinner time. And I kind of lost the habit of asking God to bless the food as much as I thank him for the food and I invite his presence at the table. Because I want his presence all around. I want to presence him into the room. Listen, I know God's omnipresent, but that doesn't mean, have you ever been to a place where you're present but you don't feel welcomed? Conversely, have you ever been to a place where your presence seemed to be everyone's desire and attention? You're here. oh, come on, we did this for you, and we prepared a place for you, and we're so honored you're here. Can we have your coat? That's how we should be treating the presence of God. Oh, God, we want you right here. We don't want you sitting in the corner. Nobody puts baby in the corner. Come on. Yeah, we want you right here in the place of honor, in the seat of honor. Come, practice his presence. Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. It's the spirit of God and his presence that does, that breaks strongholds. And we can forget about that, or we come to a subtle place where we haven't asked for the presence of God. God, and when it comes to dating, I can take it from here. I could go my own way. I could pick my own person. I can do my own things. I talk to a lot of young people, and I say, how you doing in the area of temptation? And you know what is commonly heard? When I think I can do it on my own, I end up messing up. I had a text with a young man who said, sometimes I get too relaxed in my boundaries, and I trust myself too much. I want to give you a statement that I repeat quite frequently. I repeat this weekly about myself. I'm asking you to repeat this after me. I do not trust myself. If you begin to say, I do not trust myself. I've had my little five-year-old come and say, Daddy, why you spend time every single morning? You're in your Bible too long this morning. I said, because I don't trust myself without this word. I don't trust myself for a day without it. I don't trust the way I'll treat my spouse. I don't trust how I'll lead a church and do my job. Same thing's true for your job. I don't trust how I'll treat people who leave the honey mustard out of my Wendy's order, right? I don't trust myself without the presence of God. I just don't trust myself. And so we got to repent of pride and never outgrow the dependence on God. Do not sell your tent. It's not like a slumber bag where I don't need that anymore, I sold it. Do not sell your tent. Number two, spend time in your tent. You can't just own one and then, and obviously I'm not talking about a tangible place, I'm talking about an intangible presence, spending time with God. You can't just own one and it just be like in form or function. It needs to be in heart. Like, you got to spend time in your tent. Exodus 33:11 says, when Moses would return to camp, his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Oh, I love that scripture right there. I know that there are some young people who want to do some amazing things for God in this church. And can I tell you what will distinguish you? Joshua, do you think it's any surprise that there's a correlation that there was a young man who refused to leave the tent of meeting, and God picked Joshua to be the successor of Moses? Come on, many people would be fearful of that. Who wants to go, who wants to be the quarterback after Tom Brady, right? It's kind of like, I want to be after the guy who failed a few times, right? Who wants to be the leader of God's people after Moses? Come on, showed Pharaoh down, parted the Red Sea, and then God says, you're up. And you're like, I don't know if I got what it takes. Except he picked a person who had spent time in the tent of presence. Don't neglect time spent in the presence. I wonder if there's a correlation with presence seeking and promotion. Just food for thought. Like Moses did, say, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't even send us. And that was Joshua's confidence as he stepped into what God called him to do. And finally this, number three, refuse to leave the tent. You know, Satan doesn't dwell where God is. The Bible says that if we will cling to God, Satan will flee. And so oftentimes we'll try to, we talked to a young man this past week, came up to me in between experiences and said, you know, I've been having some nightmares. And I got him connected with one of our prayer partners and men in the church who knows the word really well. And I talked to him afterward, and he said, I asked him if he had the Bible app on his phone. And he said, yeah, I do. And he said, would you put the spoken Bible on next to your nightstand when you go to sleep? Just begin to listen to the word of God even as you sleep, because where the presence of the Lord is, there is freedom. Let the word of God just speak over your soul, even as it rests. And I love that teaching. I love that practical step that we have got to seek the presence of God, because we don't want to go into warfare and start stomping down the devil without asking for the presence of God, that you would be near me, right? The Bible talks about one soul who it calls a fool in Proverbs 7. I love this allegory because it speaks so clearly on how we should behave. It says, talk to wisdom as to a sister. That word wisdom is capitalized because I believe it can totally apply to the presence of God. Talk to the Spirit of God. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Talk to God as to a sister, like in relationship, like presence wisdom, presence the Spirit in your life. Treat insight as your companion. In other words, bring it close. They'll be with you. Say with you. They'll be with you to fend off the temptress, that smooth-talking, honey-tongued seductress. I spotted a young man without any sense arriving at the corner of the street where this seductress lived. I take any sense as being, he's just doing it on his own strength. He hasn't presenced the Holy Spirit. He hasn't presenced God. He's just nonchalantly doing life. And the Bible says that she'd been lying in wait for him, dressed to seduce him. Soon she had him eating out of her hand, bewitched by her honeyed speech. And before you know it, he's trotting behind her like a calf led to the butcher shop. We have got to be people who say, I don't trust myself. I don't trust myself to walk down the street without the presence of God. Otherwise, I'd be just like this fool, tempted by the temptress. I don't know what temptation looks like in your life, but I do know this, that we are equipped with power on high when we presence the Holy Spirit. What do I mean by presencing? Sometimes you just need to stop when you feel like you're getting off kilter or you're going out of bounds. Sometimes you could be watching shows where the Holy Spirit's prompting you. This is not for you. This is not for you to consume. And you feel this moment, and if you will just stop and presence the Holy Spirit. How do you presence the Holy Spirit? You could pray. You could stop and ask God to move. One thing I do is, it's a habit of mine that I learned from one of my overseers, that I presence my wife in every single situation I'm in. She might not be sitting with me. She might not be standing with me. She might not be speaking with me. But I'll say, my wife and I are praying for you, because we are praying for her. And I don't leave her out of the discussion. I don't say, I'm doing it. I say, we are, because I'm presencing her, and I'm bringing her into an environment where she might not be physically there. Do you know you can presence God? You just say, oh God, let your hand be with me. I know I'm about to spend the next few hours with some people who don't share the same beliefs. Oh, let your hand be with me. That I don't lose myself. That I don't go too far. That I don't represent you wrong. Oh God, let your hand be with me. You know, I think Jabez was wise enough to know, I asked God for blessing, supernatural blessing. I asked him to expand my territory. But let me ask you, how are you going to steward that if he blesses your socks off and gives you more influence than you're humanly able to handle? You're going to feel in over your head. And you'll either say, I got it from here, or you'll become so desperate that you say, oh God, let your hand be with me. I can't do what you've asked me to do unless your hand's with me. God, let your hand be with me. God, let your presence be ever before me. I don't want to do this without you. God, I want to stop and pray for our nation right now. This is going to be a heavy week ahead of us, and it seems like polarizing beliefs. It seems like divide, and it seems like worry, fear, concern, anxiety. Father, let your hand be with us. Our nation was founded by men who got on their knees and they prayed for your presence to be with them in every single decision. Oh God, I ask right now, let the kingdom of heaven be greater than the kingdom of democracy. Let the kingdom of heaven prevail greater than the kingdom of Americana. God, I thank you for America, but Father, I ask right now that your hand would be with our leaders, that your hand would be upon your people, that your presence would be here, Father God. I ask that love would prevail over hate in the name of Jesus. I ask that love would rise up and squelch every single dividing spirit in our land, God. I ask, God, when there is disparity and injustice, God, I ask that there would be justice, Father. I ask that there would be a unification that comes by chasing after you, God. I ask that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done. For you have not given us a spirit of fear, but you've given us a spirit of power and love and a sound mind, and I pray a sound mind over your people today. I pray love over your people today. I pray power over your people today. You've not given us a spirit of a coward, anxiety, or fear, but of sound mind, discipline, and love. Let that be upon our nation in Jesus' name.